Epiphany, the manifestation to the nations. Jesus is manifesting himself to the world, and he does it in a really strange way by being born in a cave where nobody can see. Nobody knows who would ever go to a cave in the winter. And Jesus expects to be known to the world, and he goes and is born in a cave. And nobody is expecting him. The Jews don't seem to be expecting him. The Pharisees and scribes don't seem to be making any preparation. But God is, and he's sending this star, and there are these three kings from different nations, probably from small kingdoms. And they see this star. They had been studying the stars and praying and having faith. They had faith in God. They weren't these occult astrologers that we have today, but they were men of faith and goodness and good heart and goodwill, and they had a good will. And then God moved them in their hearts to follow this star and go see this king of the Jews. And they said, yes, we will do this. We will make this long journey to Jerusalem and see the king of the Jews. And they didn't know each other probably. And they met up at some point and they traveled together, and they were probably amazed when they met up. And so they're traveling this long journey and they're following this star. And they're full of excitement, probably, full of longing and hope for this great thing, to see the king of the Jews, who is really going to be more than a regular king, is going to be from God, somebody who's sent from God, someone who's going to do something special to the world. They would have known that. They didn't know what. They didn't have all the history of the Jews, although they probably studied some of it. So they didn't know what to expect, nothing. You know, they expected for sure that this child would probably be the child of the king of Judea, probably. Because a child of a king is a king, or soon to become a king when he's grown up. So they go to Jerusalem and they go to the king of Judea and say, and they go there expecting probably, you know, some kind of fanfare, some kind of celebrations, and there was nothing. Silence, nobody. Even the king didn't have any idea, had no idea what was going on. So they're shocked. And the star disappears. They don't see the star anymore, and they're worried. They're worried now, did we come all this way for nothing? Were we deceived? Were we, you know, dupes? You know, these are kings, remember. These are not just dignitaries from kingdoms. These are kings who are going through all this to come here. These are really important people. And they're not coming with just a camel and a few servants. They're coming with many camels, many servants, probably other dignitaries with them. Each retinue, each one of the kings would have had this big crowd of baggage and gold and all the other things that they had, frankincense and myrrh for sure, and other gifts, enough to last through the journey, food and important people. And they're coming expecting big things here, and there is nothing. There's nobody knowing what's going on. The king doesn't know. The scribes and Pharisees don't seem to be ready for this. What is going on here? The star disappears, and they're starting to doubt now whether this is all true or real or fake. And so the scribes say, go to Bethlehem. And the king says, you go too, and let me know what you find, and I'll go and worship him too, and I'll go and kill him. He didn't say that, but that's what he would have done, and it's what he planned to do. And so they go, but nobody follows them. The scribes and Pharisees don't seem to have been following him. Nobody in the Jews. They're just going by themselves. Not even the king sends anybody. So nobody thinks anything's going to happen. It's all just a fraud, maybe, in their minds. So it's really strange, isn't it? are that these three kings and all their retinue are going to Jerusalem, going to Bethlehem. And then what do they find? What do they find? They see this poor mother, poor father, Joseph, and this poor child. But they, with the eyes of faith, they see, they penetrate into the depths and the greatness of this poor woman who was really their queen, who was really a queenly woman. She wasn't afraid and intimidated. She wasn't amazed by these three kings and all their jewels and rings on their fingers and servants doing everything they tell them to do. She wasn't amazed by any of that. They were amazed at her. Her something about her was so amazing. And this child, who was a real child, a real baby, but something they saw with faith, they saw and penetrated the beauty, the immense beauty and royal nature. These are real, this is a real king. This is a real queen. They saw it, and what do? They prostrated themselves before poverty, before simplicity, before innocence, before holiness that they saw in Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. They bowed down before all of that with eyes of great faith. They saw that with eyes of great faith, and they adored. They adored, as the word says. What does adoration mean? What does adore mean? It means to look upon someone with great love, in this case with great faith, in this case with great awe, in this case with worship, worshiping Jesus and in a way his mother, who was their queen too. They saw this woman is a real queen, and we are going to bow down before her. We kings are going to bow down before her and the king-to-be, this baby. And it wasn't just a human thing. God is infusing knowledge and wisdom into their minds and their hearts and filling them with joy and peace. And on their journey, they saw that star again. They saw the star. They took them all the way to this house, this cave maybe, this house where they were, and they were filled with exceeding joy at appearing, at the star's reappearance. They were filled with exceeding joy because they were probably very, very depressed at nobody expecting this king of the Jews, this real king of the Jews, nobody expecting it, nobody caring, nobody cared. Nobody cared to even follow them, the scribes and the Pharisees, the king, nobody even followed. They probably arrived there by themselves. But they weren't disappointed. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were expecting them, and they weren't disappointed. God filled them with faith and joy and strength and wisdom that they took back to their kingdoms. You know, when a king converts, he converts his whole nation pretty much. That's what happened when the apostles went and spread the faith. They would go to chieftains and kings and convert them and convert the whole nation. That's what St. Patrick did in Ireland. Many other saints did when they traveled. So when these kings go back to there, they are totally converted, totally amazed at what God would do. God didn't try to amaze them with riches and power and fantastic things. He amazed them with the real virtue, holiness, innocence, goodness, profound goodness and holiness and perfection in this holy family. They were deeply and totally converted and brought back the message of Christ to their kingdom and would have really prepared their kingdoms for the coming of the apostles when the apostles went to their nations and converted their peoples. These three kings did that. These three kings are considered saints today, and they bring them Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar. We kind of inscribe this with chalk in our doorposts and when you go back home and bless your homes. We still remember them. They're kings, and they were men of great faith, and they brought back the faith to their people. And we can say really that these kings cared about the king that came. The Jews didn't care. The king didn't care. The scribes and Pharisees didn't care. And so we can ask ourselves, you know, what do we care? Do we care? Do we put into practice our Christian faith? Do we care enough to make our children Christians? I know many of you, most of you do, or probably all of you do. Do you care enough to go to Mass every Sunday? And I know you do. And I know you spread it to your families, but, you know, a lot of people, do we care? Do we care enough? And if we care enough about our Christian faith, it will take us at least to Mass every Sunday. It'll take us to confession. It'll take us to our knees praying the rosary, hopefully daily. That'll show you care, wouldn't it? Wouldn't show what you really care about your faith? You really care about God? You really care about putting God first? You really care about what God did for you and me, coming to earth, going through a life of poverty and suffering for all of us, and then dying on the cross? Do we care about all of these things? We should. We should all really care about it enough to change our lives, enough to spread the faith, enough to spread, to do what we're supposed to do individually, and then the influence that we can give to other people. And we have the three gifts that we can live our life by. If you really care, you will give gold to God. Gold representing the love of your heart, loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength, giving God the best of yourself, giving God the best of your work, and trying to make yourself a saint, trying to be really holy, giving God really the best, the gold. You, at the end of your life, you better give gold to Jesus. At the end of your life, on your judgment day, do you have gold to give to our Lord? Do you have many talents to give back to God with interest? We need to give gold, the first thing, love, the best of our lives, and all of our work, all of ourself, our whole life, to God and all the people that, you know, bring many souls to you, to heaven with you, with your, at the end of your life, bring many souls with you to your death, and that will be the gold that you offer to God. Frankincense, which means much prayer, a lot of prayer, a lot of good works, a lot of sacrifices offering to God, a lot of things that raise up to heaven like smoke, like beautiful smelling smoke, good, innocent, holy things, good works to God, a lot of prayer. We need to be men and women of prayer, which means we need to pray a lot every day, not just once a week or a few times, or even once or twice or three times a day, but all day long. We need to pray a lot. You need to have one of those incense makers, we call thurible, that has a lot of smoke coming out of it and keeps wafting that everywhere you go, even if smoke suffocates you. You know, we need to do that for God. A lot of prayer, a lot of things that we offer to God, sufferings that we offer up to God. And we need to do that on everywhere we go. And the myrrh of sacrifice, mortification, denying ourselves those sinful things, denying ourselves and giving to our others, giving to God, sacrificing ourselves as Jesus did in many ways for other people, for God, our time, our work, our crosses, all of these things. These three gifts we can remember to show that we really care for God, and the three gifts that we take with him through this Christmas season, through this year, and through to the end, to the end of our life, as the three kings did.
Amen. nome entris tuum.